Welcome to Bromley Football Club podcast. I'm Mark Hammond. You're listening to the Ravens Weekly. My wife's listening while I'm doing this. Enjoy the listen.
You could have been a supporter of any football team. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley. You could have been crammed inside a stage and 50,000 others there.
Hello everyone and welcome to episode 37 of Ravens Weekly, the official Bromley FC podcast, proudly sponsored by our friends at Crown Ash Developments. As ever, I'm joined by Matt.
Hello everyone.
And Cookie, I think he's gone off to the... He's gone to the bar at the other office. Coming up on this week's show.
So first up, we're going to review the final match of the season, which was of course our home to Ebbsfleet.
We're going to summarise the end of season awards, including a speech from Neil Smith and Robin Stanton-Gleaves.
We're going to catch up with the latest departures amongst the squad.
We're also going to, in happier news, bring you an update on the players staying, along with the signings of two goal scorers.
Two goal scorers, absolutely. Of course, we're going to catch up with Neil Smith on that one as well.
We're going to cover the latest community updates with regards to the stadium pitch hire and also our May half-term soccer school.
We're going to hear from Billy Crass, who's an up-and-coming member of the squad.
And we're going to end the episode and, of course, the season, really, with who else, of course, but yourselves, the fans, the listeners, on your favourite moments of the season. Okay, so obviously, first up, we're going to start with Ebbsfleet at home, last game of the season. Obviously, Ebbsfleet, with all their issues, no doubt, a lot of supporters turned up, expected a comfortable win for Bromley. I'm not quite sure people expected it to be as comfortable as it was, Matt.
No, and it was very comfortable. I think in the first half, we were in control, but neither team really got out of gear one, to be honest with you. And I know Smudge had some words at half-time to say, came out firing in the second half and scored four more and conceded just the one. So goals from George Porter, Frankie Sutherland, Richard Brindley, JJ Hooper and Luke Coulson, a well-deserved goal from him. He was fantastic.
And Cookie, another fantastic turnout as well.
Yeah, I mean, despite obviously 12th v 8th, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Nothing to play for. Ebbsfleet couldn't make the playoffs. It was incredible to get such a fantastic crowd.
Was it over 1,500 or close to 1,500?
I think it was just under, 14, wasn't it? Yeah.
No, so fantastic. That's it. What did they brought? They brought a couple of hundreds?
Yeah, they brought over 200.
Fair play to them, all things considered. Obviously, being the end of the season, we had our end of season awards afterwards on the pitch. Obviously, we were anxious, really, during the week. The weather wasn't that great.
It was rubbish for me. I didn't get to celebrate after.
But after the game, we held them on the pitch. A big thank you to everybody who stayed behind, those who sat in the main stand and stood outside the Ravens bar and that. It really looks impressive. I think 400 or 500, man, I think, stayed behind to watch the awards. And as well as the awards, we had speeches from Neil Smith and chairman of the board and co-owner Robin Stanton-Gleaves with regards to the completion of the south stand and exciting new development with regards to the current main stand and the fact that's going to be extended to the right parcel play zone, another 700 seats, spectators bar, etc. to follow. No doubt finer details regarding that appear on the website at some point over the summer. Nevertheless, excited to hear that firsthand. Also, for the awards themselves, for those who weren't there, we're going to provide a quick summary. Cook, we're going to start with the appearance landmarks.
Yeah, so appearance landmarks were presented.
We'll divide out, won't you? So you're going to call that, read out the 50.
Yep.
Matt, read out 100.
I will do.
And I think we've actually managed to get some 200 to 300 in there
as
well.
Yeah.
Sorry, go for it, Cook.
So 50th appearance in a Bromley shirt. Adam Mecky, Alan Dunn, Frankie Sutherland, Omar Begill. Roger Johnson, all making 50 appearances for Bromley.
That's quite incredible, really. And then Matt for the 100.
Yeah, so David Gregory, Jordan Higgs, George Porter and Frankie Raymond all making 100 appearances.
Brilliant. And then there was two massive shouts, really. Who's the one with 200?
Sam Wood, that's incredible. Obviously two spells at Bromley.
Over two spells, but absolutely brilliant. Over 200 appearances. And obviously, no guessing who's made over 300 appearances, Matt.
Jack Holland, the one and only, the captain. What a fantastic ambassador for the club and a man who's Bromley through and through, which is
great. After his testimonial, wasn't he?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. At the age of 26.
Absolutely incredible. Do you guys want to run us through the other awards as well? I think it's starting with top goal scorer.
Yeah, so top goal scorer was promoted or presented by a man who knew where the goal was from the six-yard box. Obviously, Jerry Dalkey, chairman and Bromley player as well.
I didn't wonder who you talked about.
Yeah, so he presented JJ, who got 19 goals in half a season, which is a phenomenal achievement.
Yeah, definitely. I'd like to see what he could have done if he'd have had the whole season here.
Who knows, we still might.
Next up was committee player of the season. This was presented by Vice Chairman Paul Greenwood, and that went to George Porter.
Fantastic for him. Management team player of the season, presented by assistant manager Mark Hammond. That went to Frankie Raymond.
And players player of the season, presented by Alan Dunn, was also went to Frankie Raymond.
You weren't sure about that?
Can he be on there twice? Yes, he can. And obviously the one that all of you guys will have been voting for, and you know, we put our votes in as well, I know. Supporters player of the season.
I did you?
Did you not? I did, yeah, I certainly did.
This is brilliant. Jeff could have turned me on his head because it was only by one vote.
One vote, you're joking. Yeah.
I think Paul Greenwood categorised me in the category of committee, so I voted in that one. But I still voted for the person who won it, so I was all right.
Oh, that's all right. Well, George Porter was the winner, presented by Jim Brown, of course, who counts the votes and will not tell us. It won't give us any clue in the week leading up to it. He leaves it till the moment.
That is a nice one. We tend to know about the other ones, don't we? Because obviously we have to get the trophies and grade, etc.
Nice to have a bit of suspense.
Yeah, the supporters one. And that went to George as well, which is absolutely incredible. I know there was only a couple of votes in it, apparently, according to Jim. Right, what was on next? We've got a list of what we're actually talking about.
We're just winging it, aren't we? Last episode.
Yes, we have.
like that's a new thing.
Yeah. Well, we've got some interviews, haven't we? So obviously we did do a podcast last week.
It's been a
very, very busy few days, hasn't it?
Saturday the season ends, Monday outrage. No signing news.
Oh no, it's a disgrace.
Well, Saturday season then, Sunday marathon.
Sorry, Cookie Marathon.
Monday.
Wow.
I knew we left something out.
Absolutely ignore the fact that Cookie's just completed 26 miles and 3 hours.
I'll give him my little thingy there when I said I couldn't celebrate on Saturday night.
Probably. And Neil, of course. Neil,
yeah, we had to go. We snuck
Dawn,
out.
Sophie.
Honestly, I cannot believe we've not put that in the list of things to talk about. I am so sorry.
It's because we're waiting for Cookie to bring it in there.
Completely let him down.
So how was it?
It was amazing. You get to... So we got dropped off by... Blackheath.
Uber. By Uber. By 25-mile mark.
Blackheath. And you got to walk about 3/4 mile just to get to Greenwich Park. Atmosphere was good. We got there about 8:30. Lining up. It was anticipating, like the anticipation was building. Started going around the Cutty Sark. And as I come out of Cutty Sark, all the players are there. So me and Dawn Bennett have run together, fan of Bromley. And the Cutty Sark, all the players were waiting there that come down to cheer us on, which was amazing.
That's brilliant. How many miles was that, Cutty Sark?
That was 7 miles, I think it was.
Brilliant.
Then about 9 miles down the road, you've got Georgie Weaver, Angie, John, and then you've got Christina and Alan that are all there cheering us along as well.
So
and then you get round to sort of like Tower Bridge halfway, lose a bit of it's not necessarily hitting the wall, but it's just I lost heart. It was really bad. 6 miles to go, really bad blisters on my feet, and they burst 4 miles to go.
Too much info there.
Could barely walk.
Bah.
But you know what? Finished it, and I can't thank Dawn enough for carrying me through. Can't thank the fans enough for supporting the charity that's become so close to me. St Catherine's Hospice was amazing, looking after my mum in her final week in September, and they deserve a lot of funding.
Yeah, so you talk about hospice in terms of the amount of money raised.
So we've raised £4,852.
Wow, so almost there, because the total was £5.
Almost there.
Was it? People still donate
people
online.
People still donate.
I think it's all on Twitter and social media.
That's it, but thank you to everyone who's done it so far.
No, absolutely fantastic effort. I must admit, we had the SC Dons game down here. For people who don't know, the YouTube celebrity team or whatever in the cup final down here. Pitch invasion, we had the full works. Absolutely full on game. But we were in the office, we were in the bar, we all had the trackers on the screens. We were following you and Neil, and we were gutted not to be up there. But like you say, it's fantastic to see the players up there all cheering you on.
Yeah, the fans.
And the Bromley supporters. Absolutely.
Oh, and Craig, brilliant. Nicola behind the bar as well. Then was at the near the finish line, which was brilliant.
Oh, absolutely lovely! Fantastic effort.
Well done, Cookie.
Yeah, I mean, look, almost 5,000. So, if anybody's yet to donate, Get behind the boys, that would be fantastic. I'm sure the hospice would very greatly appreciate it. So yeah, like we referred to, that was Sunday for everybody. And then Monday comes, week after the season ended, and obviously two things. A, well, we've got 20 players signed up already. B, everyone goes off on holiday anyway, so they're not bothered anyway. However, the actual facts of the matter are, Neil was in meetings first thing on Monday. I mean, when I... Two things. Cookie, day off on Monday. Fair play. You know, I can understand
Understandable.
That. Neil Smith turned up at 8:05 on that Monday morning.
Limped up, yeah.
Well, limped up, sorry, yeah. But he entered the Ravens bar and literally meetings with players started then, didn't it?
Yeah, they did.
We were quite sort of speechless, really, you know. And yeah, numerous players going on. And obviously, I think was it the end of that week we had some news, or did we wait another week?
We did, yeah. So it was actually that Friday, wasn't it, that we had the news? And it came in two parts, really. We had the five departures confirmed, which we announced first, and then we had a new signing to announce as well. So the five departures, of course, David Gregory, Richard Brindley, Joe Quigley, Carl De Silva and Reece Meekhams. Thank you, all of them, for their efforts for the club, and best of luck.
Gregory's slightly unlucky. I thought he might have picked up the old supporters player or something. I think he was very close. Apologies, sorry, yes. So the five departures, obviously never easy, and never goes down. You're never going to please people all the time, etc. I mean, some departures people may have expected, some departures people may have not. However, there was a bit of light in the tunnel with the signing.
There was, yeah. So actually, we retained, obviously, Adam Mecky to support him through his injury, and George Porter as well. And we signed Adrian Clifton on that Friday. So it was a very, very busy day, wasn't it, Jeff? And obviously, tying in with that, and Neil's going to speak about this in a moment, we had the news of Jake Goodman as well, who is going to extend his time with us. And obviously, it was a very, very busy week, as we've said. And here's what Neil had to say on it.
Well, Neil, it's been a busy few days, actually, and you've made four sign-ins. Three of them, you've retained players from last season, being George Porter, Adam Mecky, and today, Jake Goodman.
Yeah, I think with the Adam Mekis and the Jake Goodmans, I just think we want to show a bit of loyalty back to the players. Obviously, they got injured playing for Bromley Football Club, and I think it was only right that until they get fully fit that we looked after them. Jake goes in for his operation tomorrow. Fingers crossed that goes well for him, and he comes back, does his rehab, and then his own mini pre-season to be hopefully playing for us by Christmas. Mekis doing really well at the moment. He's been going to St George's, and he's looking really fit, looking really strong, so come pre-season he should be fully fit as well, and hopefully we get the Mecky that just before that injury. George Porter, massive signing for me, obviously to win the Supporters Player of the Year and the Club Player of the Year as well. Amazing achievement. He's shown from day one since he walked through the club that he's committed to the Bromley Football Club, and he's always been committed to myself as well. So, he's been a great servant to this club, and long may it continue. Signing Adrian Clifton as well. I think he brings something different to my team. He's had a great season with Maidenhead. I think single-handedly kept him up this season, and I think that's a great acquisition for the club. He's a senior player that's going to come in with bags of experience, and hopefully bring my other forwards through and help them out.
And we've seen you've been very, very busy even throughout this period. You've been in every day talking to people, hoping for some more good news soon.
Yeah, really hoping that we can get a couple of players over the line within the next two or three days. I think last year with the cup final and everything else, we left it a little bit late in respect of recruitment. I've retained the players that I wanted to retain from my team, from the squad I had last season already, and now it's just adding to those quality players that I've kept. I really want to have a good season next year, and I know that I've got to get the players I want in as early as I can, bed them in, so pre-season we're all up and running.
Neil, thank you.
Thank you.
A lot covered there by Neil Smith in that interview, Matt. Obviously, good or bad, whatever, the end of last season, obviously I think we learned a lot in terms of preparation and for the new season and being ahead of the curve, etc. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they talked about how summer wasn't the best in terms of recruitment, and we weren't prepared fully, etc., for this season, etc. Yeah, even at the time of recording this, I flash back to where we were this time last year. I think we were up in the Glades, probably selling tickets. We were trying to still sort out arrangements. I don't think it was a matter of the club failing to prepare enough, it just wasn't on the agenda. You were living in the here and now at that moment in time, and it was the case from now on another 2 weeks almost in our lives, wasn't it? And but you look at where we are now, and by the end of this podcast, I think we're going to have how many players signed up? 12, 13 already. You know, absolutely ahead of the curve, I think, Matt. I think where we have been in previous years. And like you said, he covered a lot there. He spoke about Jake Goodman, Adrian Clifton, and Matt, I think you managed to catch up with both of them during the week, and we're going to listen to both interviews now.
Jake Goodman, congratulations. You've just committed next season to the club. Obviously, with the injury at the moment, what are the steps with that?
So I've got my op on Friday. So we'll be getting that done, and I'll be back in probably from June the 1st, continuing my recovery.
Are you looking forward to it? Obviously, pleased to sign a new deal as well?
Yeah, the club has shown massive amounts of loyalty to me. They really didn't have to. But they've done really excellent to me, and I'm grateful. So obviously I'm going to be looking to get back as quick as I can to repay that debt to Bromley.
And obviously players come and go in the summer, as you well know, and we've seen some departures already, but it seems we've got a core of players that we're keeping together, as well as adding quality players. But how important is that core player group?
Yeah, the core is massively important. If you can keep 80% of that core, then we add a bit of new faces, new blood, it will really help us in the long run.
And obviously looking forward to getting back in the playing side next season. Have you set yourself any targets at all?
I have, but I'm not going to say it. Just because obviously things will go wrong, so I'm mentally preparing for that side. Things will go wrong, but I'm going to do everything I can possible to be back as quick as I can.
And obviously, speaking volumes about the club, like you said, the support, you must have enjoyed your time here last season as well, despite the injury.
Yeah, it was brilliant. Obviously, when I come in, everyone was welcoming. It's this real tight-knit club. You know everyone, and it's not many clubs really like that in this league.
Jake, thank you, and we look forward to seeing you back on the field next season.
Lovely, thank you.
Adrian Clifton, welcome to Bromley Football Club. You're our first signing of the of the season ahead. How do you feel?
I'm feeling really good. Happy to sign. Really excited for the season ahead, really, yeah.
And you've had a look round, obviously, here with the manager. What's your impressions of the place?
That's what sold it to me, really. Neil, he showed me around, showed me the plans, what the club have in the next 3 years. And that's what really convinced me to come down here. Looking forward to it. I know the club's got great support. Just can't wait to get started.
And we've just seen as well the new stand. The fences have come down now. It looks great. And looking forward to playing in front of that next season?
Oh, 100%. Hopefully. Look forward to scoring some goals in that end. Yeah.
And obviously another factor that's brought you in here is Neil, obviously a big admirer of yours for a while now.
I was made aware that he admired me, which is always nice, you know, people appreciating how you play. And the selling factor for me is that he knows my strengths, he knows how I like to play, and he knows what I can do, and he wants to build a team around me and get me doing what I like doing. And yeah, I look forward to it. Hopefully I can score a lot of goals this year. I done well last year, and hopefully I can reciprocate that form at Bromley.
I know you have scored a lot of goals against us in the past. I think you're one of our big nemesis is when we come up against you, you always seem to score. So looking forward to getting some goals in a Bromley shirt now.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Looking forward to getting some goals in a Bromley shirt. And like I said, hopefully I can find that form that I had last season and score even more goals.
Adrian, thank you.
Cheers, thank you.
Great to hear from both Adrian there and Jake. Obviously, within those players announced, obviously three existing players, Matt, all with mixed seasons, really.
Yeah, very much so. You look at Jake Goodman and Adam Mecky, very unfortunate with injury. Both of them actually had two spells out with injury. And obviously, sure, he won't mind me saying Adam Mecky, well, the first time he came back from his injury, he got sent off and obviously had a little suspension there. And obviously Jake Goodman suffered an injury, kept him out for a month, came back, was playing out of his skin and really cementing the place in the side, scored the winning goal against Sutton and got an unfortunate injury as well. But obviously the club has shown loyalty to them. They're players who deserve to be at this club. They're fantastic characters, great players as well when they're fit. So we look forward to seeing more of them next season. And of course, a better season for George, isn't it?
Yeah, look, I mean, going back to that briefly, I think the club, the board, the manager, the all set of presidents with regards to Adam Mecky, I think there's no doubt that Neil was going to offer Mecky a new deal for the following season. And obviously he did get injured, etc. But again, the club did the morally correct thing, etc. And I think they've shown great support to Adam. And I'm sure everyone involved never expected for that to be asked upon them again. Months, weeks later, almost, with regards to Jake Goodman. It's been fantastic to see that, again, they've supported Jake, and as Jake refers to how grateful he is of their support as well. And then, yeah, like you say, you refer to George Porter, obviously a fan's favourite, supporters player of the season.
And committee
player of the season, obviously. I don't think you could imagine him in any other shirt than a Bromley shirt, could you?
Not anymore. It's funny, we wouldn't have said that a few years ago, would we?
Oh, my gosh.
Echoes of Welling away.
Oh, Leighton Orient away was that one thing, but... I remember being at Welling. I think he pulled his hamstring in a game. We played with New Year's
in the first half.
Rain or something like that.
200-300 of us behind the goal, wasn't it?
I think he pulled his hamstring or something, and it was in the area, and it was right directly in front of the Bromley fans. And yeah, quite incredible, isn't it? How football turns around.
He got
time
changed. Let's put it that way. He's the sort of player, isn't he? You don't want to play against. You want to have him on your side because he frustrates opposition fans. He frustrates opposition defenders. He has chipped in with 9 goals.
I think he frustrates Neil sometimes, to be fair.
I think he frustrates himself as well. He's very... if he doesn't have a good game, you can see he's disappointed in himself. He wants to improve. 9 goals this season as well for someone who's been predominantly playing on the wing, has shifted to centre-forward a couple of times as well when we've needed it. But definitely a versatile player who you want to have on your side, and a great character in the dressing room, and one that's liked around the club. So fantastic news for him.
Obviously, moving away from the first team now slightly... I mean, Akuzi had to shoot off, unfortunately. He's not running another marathon, that's all it is.
No, but we can't use the training excuse anymore.
We have the strange pleasure of being able to sit up here in the boardroom this afternoon, only because it's the only semi-quiet place left in the building. And that's because out on the pitch, we've got Bromley Youth Section just setting up for their Friday evening training. And we've just witnessed the Bromley District Cup Finals, 9v9. I think we had 2 finals this afternoon, Matt. Brilliant to see... the stadium being opened up to the wider community, into local schools, for such prestigious tournaments.
There's been some fantastic games as well. I've been watching bits of it. Really, really entertaining. It's a great standard of schools football here.
It's a district, isn't it? So is that the best of the best? Or
I think it is. And you look at particularly, I don't want to sort of single anyone out. I'm going to have to. Ravenswood have been absolutely phenomenal. I think they've won sort of 9 out of 10 of their games, which is incredible. But yeah, great to see, like you say, so many different schools coming down here to play their finals. And you can just see the looks on the boys and the girls as well. We've had girls' teams' faces as they come in and they realise, wow, this is a stadium, you know, and how what a pleasure it is to play on the first team pitch.
And obviously on that note, for anybody listening, whether you work for a local company, whether you're looking to raise money for charity, we do have the wonderful privilege of being able to offer our facility, our stadium pitch out for use throughout the summer, May, June, July. And details about that can be found on the website. We're hosting all kinds of events, from charity games to, I think one gentleman's holding his birthday party here and having a match afterwards. We've got a couple of inter-company games where different departments are playing each other. It's more affordable than you think. And again, all the details are on the website and you can drop us a message on there. Matt, talking about pitches and its use and the stadium and what's happening during the off-season, as everyone calls it, we've got our May half-term soccer camp coming up.
We do indeed, yes. So our soccer camps have, as we've said before, been taken back in-house. They're all done now by Bromley FC coaches, and it's a pleasure to work with these guys. And I've just actually missed a call from Neil, so we'll return that in a minute.
I'm sure it's not a point. It won't be a player signing or anything.
No, not this time.
Surely not.
Jinx. The May half-term soccer camp is obviously taking place at the end of the month, the final week of the month, 27th to the 31st. It's going to be fantastic. We've got fantastic coaches doing it, all DBS checked, fully qualified, and you know, we're getting more and more children doing this every single time, and it's fantastic pleasure to be a part of it. The first team as well are always so engaging with it, as is Neil. He always comes to say hello. It's fantastic. So
I'm sure, unfortunately, this time, Neil Hammo and everyone, the first team manager itself, be as engaged as possible. I imagine the players are probably elsewhere probably outside of the country,
probably at the moment, yeah. But like you say, Neil and Mark Hammond and Alan Dunn as well, always fantastic to come and say hello.
But again, it's open to boys and girls aged 4 to 12 years. Yeah. All the details on the website, www.bromleyfc.co.uk. Obviously, we're moving back to First Team Affairs now. It's Friday. Hopefully, if you're listening to this, you would have seen the news regarding a new signing, Matt.
Yeah, that's right.
We did our utmost to have a bit of fun by announcing it.
We always do, don't we? Yeah, I have to admit, that is one of the perks, isn't it? It's just the little teasers. And I know I've been on the other side of it as well, and it's painful, but it's all worth it once it gets announced. And it wasn't any old signing, was it, Jeff? It was Michael Cheek, who is an established performer at this level. You look at his record, his track record over the past few years in this division with Braintree, Dagenham, Redbridge, Ebbsfleet. He's scored goals against us enough times for fans to remember him. He's even scored at the Den against Millwall for Braintree as well in the FA Cup. Won't say who they beat to get to that game, but we'll move on swiftly from that.
Yeah.
So an established centre forward at this level, and one that was wanted by other clubs, and he's chosen to come here, which speaks volumes of Neil and the club's general ambition to move forward.
It's like you say, Matt, absolutely brilliant. I know he's tried for a while now, I believe, to get hold of Cheek, and I know Neil's glad it's finally happened. And you had the pleasure of catching up with both of them earlier this afternoon, and here's what they had to say.
Neil, so I'm sat in front of you now, and more importantly, Michael Cheek sat next to you. We've just signed him. What's your feelings on that?
Delighted. You know, Michael's obviously a proven goal scorer in this division. He's done it with several teams over several years now, and you know, for us to get a player of Michael's quality into the squad this season is a massive achievement for this club and shows where we want to go.
And no doubt a player that you've had on your radar for quite a long time now as well.
Yeah, you know, Cheeky's obviously scored goals against us from the Braintree days, obviously, and even up until the Ebbsfleet, so we know what he's about. You know, I'm not buying a player or getting a player in that I don't know about. We know everything about him, and it was just you know, it was a no-brainer in getting someone of that quality in my club.
And it's a statement of intent as well that you're very serious about next season.
Yeah, obviously, you know, we said this season's been a bit up and down consistency-wise. I didn't want to go through that again. And I think getting a proven goal scorer in gives us a massive advantage over most of the clubs, and to do it so early as well. I'm starting to put a squad together that I think, you know, can do better than last season. And I need to do that for the club, not just as well as for the team itself.
Michael, welcome to Bromley. How does it feel to be here?
Yeah, it's great to be here. Ambitious club, and can't wait to get going.
And obviously you've met Neil several times now, someone that drew you into the club and as well shown you around. I know you're impressed by what you saw as well.
Yeah, I used to dodge his phone calls, but now we've got to pick it up. So yeah, great to be here and can't wait to get started.
And have you got any targets for yourself ahead of next season?
Just to play as many games as possible, score as many goals, and hopefully get the points on the board and be there or thereabouts.
Well, Michael, welcome to the club, and we look forward to seeing you in Bromley shirt.
Thank you very much.
Great to hear from both Neil and Michael Cheek there. Matt, we're what's the date today?
It's the 10th of May.
10th of May, and have we just gone and signed two proven National League goal scorers?
We have, absolutely, and two players that have scored goals against Bromley in the past. I mean, you look at Clifton last year in the 2-2 draw with Maidenhead at their place, obviously 2-0 down with injury time left, and we got it to 2-2. He scored once, he got a couple here the season before. And Michael Cheek, I think my best slash worst, well, it's my best now slash worst memory of him was in that horrible 5-1 at Dagenham, Jeff. I think you were there with me.
Oh my gosh.
He actually scored two, and I just remember him cutting in from the right wing and from some ridiculous angle just banging a shot into the roof of the net, and I've still got no idea how he did it, and let's hope he's now doing that for us. He seems really happy to be here, and like I said, he has chosen us ahead of other clubs and established clubs at this level, which is a massive a show to Neil and a massive
sorry, I'm just going through some of the social media posts. It's actually
brilliant.
They are
quite funny, to be fair. Yeah, we did a little teaser, as we said earlier, but the comments since that, you know, you've got to appreciate the comments coming in from the fans. They're obviously really excited, and it speaks volumes as well as to Neil's hard work and the club's hard work. getting these done early, Jeff. You look around, really, there's not very many clubs at this level that are getting this level of signings done so early. So massive credit to Neil, to the board, to the club for getting these secured. And it gives us a platform now to build on and sign other players.
Absolutely fantastic. And talking of the players, Matt, obviously, maybe not in the highlight, in the highlights as much or highlighted as much this season, sorry, as we'd possibly hoped. Billy Krask.
Billy, wow, what a man. Honestly, I've never met such a young lad who's so enthusiastic, so determined. My best memory of him was, I think it was the Ravens bar I was in, just walking through once on a weekday, about 3:30, training had finished 3 hours before. He was on the pitch on his own, practicing free kicks. No one, not another soul about. And that speaks volumes about his determination to succeed as a player. He's got the attitude. A lot of fans have commented on his performances in the Kent Senior Cup and obviously coming on against Peterborough in the FA Cup as well.
What an occasion, yeah.
What a way to make your debut. And the fans are excited about him. He's obviously a product of the academy at Plymouth Argyle and has been part of our under-23s. And credit to Danny Mills for spotting him and Neil Smith to bring him through. It was great to catch up with him. He's a fantastic character. And here's what he had to say.
Well, it's a podcast debut here for Billy Krask. Billy, thanks for joining us. Can you tell us a bit about your journey as a footballer? Obviously, you've emerged into the first team this season, but how did it all start out for you?
Yeah, well, I'm from back from Devon, so it's kind of been a long journey up till here. But I started off at Plymouth. I was there from about the age of 10, maybe a bit younger. So I've been there for about 12 years. And then I was a scholar, so from the age of 17 to 18 I was in the system, but at the end of that I did get released, so I went to the exit trials, and then Millsy picked me up for the 23s, so I came up here and had a trial, and I've been here since then. But it's been a good journey and I'm really glad I'm here.
And you are enjoying it here. It seems like you play with a smile on your face every time we see you, and you're really enjoying yourself.
Oh yeah, I love it. I love playing football here, you know, and playing in front of the fans as well is amazing. Playing in the Kent Cup, you know, playing in front of all these people, they're really supportive, and it's fun. I love playing football here.
And your debut was against Peterborough United in the FA Cup in front of about 3,500 people, so no standard debut there, quite a big one to be thrown into. But did you enjoy it?
Yeah, that was amazing. That was one of the highlights of my life, like coming in and walking into the changing room just to see my name on the back of the shirt with my 27. That was amazing. Like, I've dreamt of that moment for like since I was a kid. So, and then to run out onto the pitch in front of all the people, it was pretty surreal. Under the lights as well, it was madness. But yeah, that was definitely a highlight of my life. Amazing.
And you've managed to break into the first team. It's obviously a great bunch of lads for you to play with and learn from as well.
Yeah, they're all amazing. I've learned so much from all of them. They've all been really supportive, helping me on and off the pitch, giving me tips of how I could improve my game or what I need to be doing off the pitch to improve my game as well, and helping me mentally as well. But yeah, they're all great, and I love them all. They really helped me this season.
And Neil as well has been really nurturing towards you as well. He's obviously a big fan of yourself as well, bringing you through the under-23s to into the first team.
Yeah, I'm really grateful for the gaffer. Like, I came here for the first team and he introduced me to the first team, and I'm really grateful that he's been able to kind of take me on and help me become better and give me the chance that he has with the first team, you know, making my debut against Peterborough and in the Kent Cup and giving me those chances. But training with the first team every day has been amazing. I'm really glad that he's allowed me to do that.
Slightly frustrating end to the season for you, wasn't it? Because when we did have all those injuries, you would have seen yourself getting an opportunity there in the league, in the National League, but unfortunately you were injured as well.
Yeah, that was really annoying. I was working for that moment for ages throughout the whole season, just trying to wait for my moment to come on. But I did get injured in the Kent Cup pretty much as soon as I came on, but I played on with it. But yeah, it's really frustrating, but I'll come back stronger next season and try and do my best.
And you've obviously achieved a lot this season, and we see now you're actually here training as well today once obviously everybody's finished. Have you got any targets yourself for next season on a personal level?
Well, I think I'd like obviously to become a better player and a better person, but I guess to be more involved with the first team, like maybe try and get on the bench a bit more and then progress from there. But obviously just got to keep working hard, and whatever happens, happens. But I'll keep working hard.
Well, Billy, congratulations on an excellent season, and we look forward to seeing more of you next year.
Thank you very much.
Great to hear from Billy there. Obviously, Matt, I understand Neil's offered him terms for the new season. So obviously, we just wanted to hear the latest on that, and hopefully, we can update everyone next week. Right, so we're almost at the end, Matt. Episode 30 whatever, what are we, 37
now?
37. That's not bad. 42 weeks of the season, we haven't done too bad. And obviously, coming to the end of the season, there's the usual fans questions, really. The questions you always get asked with regards to anything and everything football related. We're going to start with, we've been asked about a new kit. Yes, there's going to be a new kit. We've actually seen it today, haven't we? We've seen the real sample.
Yeah, wow. That's all. Well, there's a twist, let's just say.
Okay, you said that. I wasn't going to answer.
It's a very, very good twist, but it looks fantastic, doesn't it?
Really, really pleased with it, definitely. I think all three kits have come out absolutely fantastic.
Thank you to Macron.
No doubt. For that. Hopefully, we're going to be able to get some visuals out pretty soon, hopefully, the sounds of it. So we'll keep everyone posted on that. Again, yes, it will be offered on kids' sizes, etc. It'll be available to pre-order on the website. Matt's
speaking of which website, we added some new items, didn't we, to our club shop, our online club shop. Yes, so we've
e-commerce.
Yes, that's what it's all about nowadays, isn't it? So we've added the brand new Bromley FC teddy bears, which are lovely, heart melting, amazing.
Oh yeah, see, I got one for my cat to be put.
We've got the new mugs as well. We've got two different designs.
Whoa! Oh right.
Well, I wasn't talking about.
Sorry.
You
and yeah, I, yeah, but, yeah.
we've got the classic design and the honeycomb design as well. And we've got the drawstring bags, and actually these have been selling quite well online.
The old swim bags. I remember. Yeah, when you go swimming school.
They're fantastic, and especially the parents from the soccer camps and things have been grabbing the bags.
And we've got football. Coming, we've got some size 5 footballs coming.
Actual Bromley
FC, they're
going
to be on our website soon, aren't they? Gold and black, they look brilliant,
they're amazing. Yeah, absolutely. So, just thought I'd add that in. Sorry to interrupt you.
No apologies. So, yes, usual question regarding kit. Yes, there's going to be a new one. Hopefully, details out as soon as possible. Really looking forward to this one. I really like it. It's got a what can I say? Oh, no, you can't. You said there's a twist. That's enough. That's all you can say.
That's
other questions. Season tickets, of course, they're out already. I'm sure everyone's seen it already. The early bird ends the 7th of June, is it, Matt?
That's right, yeah. 5 p.m.
Again, fantastic value. I mean, I know that we're up against your Palaces, your Millwalls, your Charltons, everyone out there, but I think our adult season ticket at £200 comes in at less than £9 a game. The over 65s is, what, £135 for the season. Again, fantastic value. Massive thank you to the board for supporting us in what we feel is the right decision to go forward and make sure we continue to attract larger fans. I think our average crowd with the cup etc in was, I think, well over 1500, which again is absolutely brilliant,
an improvement on the year before as well,
definitely. And so yeah, kids go free, of course. Seats. I was going to come on to seats.
Oh, sorry.
Matt,
I thought you were going to...
You're doing like a miming thing opposite me. You're waving your hands in the air. I wonder what
that's
you're talking
what
about.
That little delay was for.
Sorry. So, back to the season tickets, obviously. Fantastic value. They're on sale at the moment. You can pop down to the club, drop us a line over on the website, and we'll give you a call back when it's convenient for you. And, yeah, they've been selling really well. I think last season we were almost up to the 500 mark, weren't we, I think? So, it would be fantastic to break that barrier. The boys that are left, the team that currently got together, those 12, they deserve all the support they're going to get next season. And like I said, the more we can get secured up. And don't forget, obviously, that you get there's two kids free season tickets for. There's two of them available for every adult or over 65 ticket purchase. So whether it's for your son or your daughter or your grandson or your granddaughter, make sure you make the most of that. Please take advantage of it. A lot of people did last season. It's fantastic to see. And I think some of the photos we've seen throughout the season and the young crowd, etc. I think all in all, I think we're really pleased with the progress that was made off the field last season. And as we all know, the club is nothing without the fans and the support that we've seen throughout the what That'd feels like fantastic. One hell of a long season, especially following the year before. And seating, that's what you were waving at me for, wasn't it?
Yes.
Sorry, Matt, you could take this on.
Yeah, so we have listened. There was a lot of requests, especially at the back end of last season. Obviously, we haven't had as many seats in the ground this year as we have in previous years due to the South Stand works. And the question we were getting asked quite a lot of the time, most weeks in fact, was can we reserve a seat for a season? So we've obviously put that to the board of directors ahead of the new season, and they've said yes, you can. So
again, I think we'd spoke about that for a long, long time. And the club always wanted to do it. However, when you only have the limited seating that we do have within the stand, and yes, a lot of people...
It wasn't possible last year.
A lot of people will talk about the executive club and what happens upstairs in the venue as well. And like I said, everything plays its part in building what we're trying to build here at the football club. And the fact the South Stand's going to be completed next season, the fact we're going to have 1,500 fantastic seats. By the way, I've had the pleasure of sitting in them, Matt, and I'm 6 foot, God knows whatever. Yeah. I can sit in there. I've got plenty of leg, room.
Yeah.
Honestly, and the view is the state. You see the stadium in a whole different light.
Do you think my microphone might work?
The fact it doesn't work from the main stand, no, let alone that stand.
No, that's true. That's true.
The fact there's 1,500 fantastic seats there. I think we've got 10 wheelchair spaces in total as well that are in a raised position to offer the proper facilities is brilliant news. The fact we do have those 1,500 seats, 15,000, that'd be long, wouldn't it? The fact we do have those 1,500 seats available.
One day.
The fact the club aren't charging for people to sit in them on match days or anything like that. It's completely open to everybody. That's allowed us, really. That's given us the opportunity to view the remaining seats in the main stand as a semi-premium option. And as a result, I think we've agreed, is it £60 for the season,
Matt? £60, yeah.
I mean, I think
over for the season ticket.
Over the course of the season, that's just over a couple of quid, isn't it? I think again. So again, for those who do want to take it up, it's on the website. There's absolutely no need to do it if you don't wish to. We were asked to provide it, and I think it's something we've managed to be able to do.
And the feedback on the whole's been very good from it. So
yeah, I think half the seats have already been sold, haven't they?
Yeah, they're going quickly. Yeah, that's right.
Fantastic response. What are the usual questions we're also asked, Matt, this time of the year? 3G pitch. If we get promoted, are we taking it up?
Robin covered that
in his end of season. Could not have made it any clearer. A grass pitch will be laid. It should be get promotion to the Football League.
Pre-season games, we are working on
literally just before we recorded this we were dealing with a couple of them. I think we're almost there. I think we've got one or two fixtures to fully confirm, and then I think we've got a good
grounding for a great pre-season. Yeah, looking forward to it.
To be honest, before we know it, that's for sure.
New signings, perhaps one to cover. Obviously we have brought you two fantastic signings already. I understand fans love to hear that news, and we do promise we do bring it to you as soon as we can. You know that there is no reason why we would delay it, so as soon as we have news we'll bring it to you, and that's a guarantee from us,
from Matt
and Neil.
Anyway, being the last episode of Ravens Weekly, sponsored by our friends at Crown Ash Developments, honestly a genuine thank you to the guys there for supporting us all season long. I suppose there's no better way to round it off than involving yourselves, the fans, the listeners, the reason we all do it. And we've been asking for your favourite moments, Matt.
Not necessarily football related. Well, not necessarily on pitch related.
Yes. This is the line still we gave, necessarily. Football, yes. Your favourite moments from the season. And loads of you came back and said the podcast, which was really, really nice of you. But there's actually some genuine ones in there as well. And I think we're going to make a start and run through some of them because they're absolutely brilliant. Absolutely. This is what it's all about.
That's right.
Football, all of it aside, when you get to stop and reflect and look back on what has been these last 10, 11 months. And if you include the year before at Wembley and everything like that, it feels like it's been 2 years of non-stop, I must admit. This is the first time it sort of genuinely feels like we've got a bit of a break from everything. Nevertheless, what a great opportunity to be able to look back and reflect. And Matt, you're going to start with some of the posts you've had over on social media, on Twitter, I believe.
Yes, so Rob Shirley. Classic bit of sarcasm here. The highlight for me would have been if the traffic jam at the Dartford Tunnel had lasted longer, which would have meant he'd missed our capitulation at Dagenham Road.
Hey, brilliant, Ross. To a flyer.
Not the best game of the season.
No, it gets better.
I'm sure there are better ones to think about than that.
It gets better though. Steve the Greek, Sutton getting
expletive.
3-0 up in County Durham in the trophy, winky face.
That was a bit of a supermarket beep.
Brilliant.
Dawn, this is a really nice one, actually. Seeing my son walk out with our favourite player, Jack Holland, on the televised New Year's Day game, also chosen to pick up the match ball for the game. This club has taken us on an amazing journey on and off the pitch, including my London Marathon with Dave and Neil Smith, of course.
Absolutely brilliant. And she's put a photo up as well on social media, which just, yeah, just typifies and sums up what the club's all about. Mikey Mike Time Bomb on Twitter. The time spent before, during and after games spent with good friends. But if I had to pick just one game, it would be the Orient one.
Paul Richer is next, and his highlight of the season is being able to get to several away games with the help of some great people. Many thanks to Mark Trejan, Dave Gregory, Rob Shirley, Eddie McIntosh, Mike Stanger and Jamie Thomas. And Jamie Thomas has come back, obviously the one who's organised the fans coaches this season.
An said it's been a pleasure. Absolute massive shout out to Jamie Thomas and everybody involved in organising those coaches. I can honestly say it's an unforgiving task in the past. I know we've tried it, whether it's Jim Brown, whether it's doing the club, whether it's Mash has even supported it in the past. And funded a lot of it himself. At times it does feel like a thankless task, but Jamie and the guys have clearly done an absolutely fantastic job this season, and a number of coaches have been organised and the sellouts, etc. Absolutely brilliant to see, and long may that continue. Mark Trejan over on Twitter, my highlight of the season would be Luke Coulson's wonder goal away at Hartlepool United. A superb through ball from Frankie Sutherland, a beautiful flit and then finish, giving the goalkeeper no chance. Sublime football, which wouldn't look out of place in the Premiership. That of all the games, I go, you know what? I'm going to miss it.
Yeah.
Too much pressure from the other half. She wanted to go back home. Let's pop back to Italy.
Yeah.
With the family, everything like that. I thought, okay, no problem. What's the worst I'm going to miss, Matt? I'm going to miss a win. Fantastic win. Three points. Everyone's going to be in a good place. That's fine. I sit there. You lot on WhatsApp send me a message and, oh, you won't believe what you've just missed. And I'm thinking, yeah, okay, usual. And then Ronan WhatsApps me that goal.
Yeah.
At half time, I'm showing everybody.
Oh, it's,
I'm showing everybody. And well, I'm getting all the Italian bellissimo. God, it's all happening around the table.
So, yeah.
There's vino everywhere. Yeah. Oh, it's unbelievable, man.
And that goal, we've actually just found out, is going to feature in the promotion final match day programme as the goal of the season. Which
100%. Yeah, I mean, it, non-league paper.
You need to go and vote, guys. Non-league paper. Go to their Twitter. It's goal A you need to vote for. Hashtag NGA votes, goal A. Luke Coulson, come on, we need to get him to goal of the season. It's very well deserved. The next one, we've done Mark Trejan. The next one is Mark Roberts. This is quite a funny one. The Orient coach driver getting sent off.
Oh, that is brilliant. What a night. What a night under the floodlights at Hayslade. Oh, absolutely brilliant. Look, they promoted. Congratulations to them.
Yeah,
they deserve all of it.
They do deserve it.
Whether they got a Freeman band buddy or not, doesn't matter. they deserve every success that they've got. They're clearly the best team. They're champion. Did they go with champion, sorry?
They have, yeah.
Yeah. Congratulations to them. We wish them all the very best for the future. But yeah, what a night that was. That was funny.
He had the red
cap on and everything.
Yeah, he didn't help himself there, did he, really?
Oh,
it was
brilliant. Nice. Apologies. Sorry, next. Donna, attending my first ever Bromley match on the 17th of July against Crystal Palace. Dragged along my husband, daughter, who were big Palace fans. I was not in any way a football fan. Since that day, I've become completely hooked, barely missed a home game and can't keep away. Roll on next season. That's what it's about,
absolutely. And I know for a fact, actually, Donna's daughter's got involved helping with our soccer school as well, which is just even more so.
You can't put things like that into stats, attendance figures, into anything. That's fantastic.
It is brilliant. Alex Chambers is next, and his highlight of the season was our win against Orient. A great game of football, which he'll remember for ages, and I think I will as well. That's three wins, Jeff, out of four attempts against Leighton Orient, and they've gone up this year, and we've still managed to get 3 points against them.
Brilliant.
Fantastic.
Derek Morris, the late showings to snatch unlikely draws away to Wrexham and Maidenhead were both real highlights, and the... both real highlights, and the performance on the last day of the season with an injury hit squad was a perfect end to the season. Thank you very much for that, Derek.
Colin Head is next, and he said beating Sutton United at Hayes Lane with a late goal live on TV takes some beating.
Jake Goodman.
Oh, I think someone put the Titanic music over that, and it was, I think that was Ronan. Fair play, that was fantastic. Jake Goodman scoring with his first touch since coming on as a sub. I watched that back a few times. I think you and me can both say the same.
That was
one.
Brilliant. I think Annabelle literally came back seconds later with the same one. My highlight of the season is Jake Goodman's goal against Sutton seconds after coming on. Other highlights include getting a head bonk from Gareth and the away commentary from you guys, Sasha Romans Wheatley. Annabelle, thank you again. Thank you to everybody else who tunes into our commentary from away games.
Dave on Twitter says his son walking out as a mascot against Boreham Wood, which again we've tried to really involve our youth teams this season, and I think pretty much every game apart from some late Tuesday nights we've had mascots from our fantastic youth section, so that's a really nice one, Dave.
This is the one I love from Stephen Mills. Mark Anthony shaking Hayes Lane to its foundations with that 50-yard run last year to stop a counter-attack. I forget the opposition, but I've never been so excited by a piece of defending. I think we even went out of our way and made a video clip of it because it was such a fantastic... Oh.
And Alex Chambers comes back and says it was against Dover, which Mark Anthony confirmed it was.
No, it was against Dover.
It was fantastic.
That was brilliant.
That was defending to a T. Absolutely fantastic. Christina... The lady, completely oblivious to the game going on, hanging out her washing at Leighton Orient, begins the chant, "She's putting her washing out."
Paul Richard, another thank you to Matt, Dave, myself and Mecky for the excellent commentary provided throughout the season. It's very much appreciated. Big thank you, Paul.
And thank you to Mecky as well for joining our commentary team. Obviously, a player who's out injured.
Well, yeah, it was nice to hear from Mecky, but I did feel like he was probably going to take all of our jobs by the end of the season.
Well, luckily enough, hopefully he'll be fit for the new season.
He's a bit too good for my line.
Yeah, well... Anyway, moving on. Mash, getting to 51 points and knowing we'll stay in the National League for another year, it's something many take for granted. The National League gets harder every season.
Massive shout, absolutely massive shout. I don't know if there's public figures out about the budgets and the money involved in this league, but when we came up, we stayed semi-part-time, well, semi-full-time. There is no category, but we were still training three evenings a week. And you know, how did we do the first season? We did okay.
I think we finished 15th.
This season, well, we're three, four seasons on. Clubs that have come up and stayed part time have gone straight back down. I think people really underestimate how much this league has changed, and the money that is within this league is on a different planet. And
if there was ever a
football fair play, budgets, money, stuff like that, I can't see how half of these clubs would be within that criteria. There's money being spent no doubt about it. The level's completely changed. Mash makes a completely valid point there. Like you say, I think a lot of people do. The fact people call us an established National League club is one hell of a statement.
It is. You look at Dover, they were part-time earlier this season, went full-time, and ultimately that kept them up. Maidenhead have just about secured safety as a part-time club. They've now gone full-time.
Yeah, and if you think it's getting any easier, Matt's about to tell you the teams that are entering our league next season.
Oh my goodness. Yeovil Town, Notts County, Torquay United, Stockport County. And we're still waiting for the winners of the playoffs in the North and South to come up. So
unbelievable. Wow. Let's get it right. One of Salford are far to stay in this league.
Yeah, that's right. Unbelievable. So yeah, it's definitely not getting any easier. Mash makes a really, really good point there. So
shout out to Craig Wilson on Twitter, getting to celebrate my 26th birthday with my friends, family and the Bromley FC family. Shout out to Craig. I think he had an exec club table, didn't he, for his birthday which is fantastic.
Jamie Thomas, every coach and train journey this season, not always the results we wanted, but made some good memories and new friends. Bring on the new season.
Brilliant. Chris G over on Twitter, beating Orient was quite nice.
Steve G replies to that saying it was lovely.
Where are we? Chesterfield. Sorry, I can't even speak. Chesterfield away, great stadium.
It is, isn't it?
Was it a last minute equaliser from there?
Savon Hines.
Savon Hines, wasn't it?
And then the next week we signed him.
Football, eh? What a time. This is a great one, isn't it, over on Facebook?
Robert Newman comes onto the Facebook comments and says, probably hearing someone in our stand shout, "Can't you run for that Danny Fedwell?" Which had me creasing up for a couple of minutes regarding our match against Ebbsfleet at the end of the season.
Fantastic. Matt, I think we're almost there.
It's been emotional.
I think that's it.
It's gone so quick, hasn't it?
Oh, I don't know. Sometimes it's
the end of the season.
It's
just flown by.
I agree with that. Yeah,
incredible, but the podcasts have been a real joy for us to produce this season, haven't they? The fantastic interaction from the supporters has really, really kept us going. Crown Ash Developments, the support that they've provided us as well, absolutely phenomenal, and we really, really appreciate it. So what a season it's been for us. 37 episodes, as you said earlier, Jeff. That's no easy thing to do.
Look at that.
And we've done it.
We were on BBC Radio. We were BBC Radio 4 the other day.
I
what
still
about
haven't
that
listened
one?
To that, you know? I need to listen.
Unbelievable. They were interviewing us about our podcast. I mean, what's all that about?
Unbelievable.
We're only doing this as a side hobby. Anyway. Yeah, like Matt says, absolutely pleasure, absolute pleasure to bring you guys this podcast. Like Matt says, what have we got? 37 episodes?
37 now, yeah.
About 42 weeks. Mm. We obviously know what our target is for next season. We're looking to come back as early as possible in pre-season in July. With a very similar format, keep it going. We're hoping to be able to chain Cookie to a desk and get him involved more regularly.
Yeah, he can't use the marathon excuse
he seems
anymore.
To keep swanning off, doesn't he?
Yeah,
every
he
Friday
does, yeah.
Early finish about 3:30.
That's shocking.
But no, genuinely, seriously, in all fairness, honestly, thank you so much for everybody who listens, downloads, sends us comments on social media. It's really, really is greatly appreciated. It's the only reason we're doing it, to keep everybody informed. And I think it's such a great, great communication tool. You can put whatever you want out on the website and on statements and on social media, etc. But I think it's a lot. This is a very genuine way of communicating, and I think we're always trying to be as open as possible and listening to people and taking on people's questions. And no doubt you're going to tell us where we've got to improve and what we've got to do better for the next season, and we'll be all ears and we'll make sure we do that. But yeah, Matt, I genuinely think that is about it.
That is pretty much
we should
it.
Have probably pre-prepared a whole load of funny clips from the whole season as we went past, but as usual, this is sort of a lastminute.com
it is
episode, as we sit here
better last minute than
as
never.
We sit here Friday at 6:30 having
it's been a busy day in fairness, hasn't it?
Once again, big thank you to everybody. Big thank you to Crown Ash Developments. Whatever you're doing during your summer, I know you'll all keep in touch on social media and the website, like emails, etc., and we'll do our utmost to make sure everyone's updated as possible. Enjoy your weekends without football. I'm sure you'll find something else to do, whether it's cricket, whether it's a T20. On that note, I've got to say another thank you to
Simon
Wakefield.
Simon,
who left an envelope in our office which had tickets for the T20.
What an unbelievable
for us
gesture.
And all our staff to go and watch Surrey. Was it Surrey, I think?
I can't remember.
Or Kent. Oh my God, I can't
remember.
I think
remember. It was Kent.
It was
Kent. Yes.
No, I don't think it was Surrey. Oh, I can't remember. Was he Oval? The Oval's Kent. No, the Oval's Surrey.
I'm not knowledgeable about cricket.
Can't we edit this bit out? But anyway, he left us tickets for T20 for us and the staff behind the scenes, which is a lovely gesture. We're going to make the most of that. I think it's in early July or late July.
Thank you so much.
That's it, man. I think
that actually is it this time. Yeah,
definitely, that's it, isn't it?
Yeah,
we haven't forgotten anything.
We haven't forgotten to thank anyone.
We've done that.
Thanks to Cookie.
Thank you to Cookie. Where's Cookie?
He's not here. And thank you to James, obviously, who's featured on episodes as well this season. So it's been a real pleasure.
He's been busy at uni or something like that.
Yeah, that's something.
Okay, we're waffling now. Big thank you to everybody. Genuinely, as much as it's over and you think, okay, a bit of a break now, I know within a week's time we're all raving to go again for the new season. Please, if you haven't already got your season ticket and shown your support, make sure you do get in touch and make the most of that early bird. Again, it runs out on the 7th of June. It'd be fantastic to have beat last season's record and get over the 500 mark for our season tickets. So all the details are on the website, www.bromfc.co.uk. That's it from me. Jeff, a big thank you to everybody.
Yes, thank you from me as well.
it's been a pleasure. That is literally it. Thank you very much. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley.